Hey everyone, this is Miles. I'm currently on the tour bus, the Fear Factory tour bus, heading from Manchester to London. We're on the M6, and it's almost 3 in the morning. I passed out earlier, so my body clock is pretty messed up, and now everyone's passed out and gone to sleep. I'm still awake at the front, just having some time to reflect on the past 4 or 5 weeks, which, as many of you will know, has been intense for me, not only due to the fact that this time of year, with stuff like SAD and just the situations I seem to get myself in, it always seems quite problematic, but I've been wrestling with probably the most ambitious project of my life, and being someone who has always wanted to keep pushing the envelope with using the internet to connect people and to get people geographically isolated around the world with a common goal to strive and do it, I for the first time in my life have been scared by my own ambition, and it's why I've been beating myself up about it a lot. But the most amazing thing about this tour is spending time with close friends who have been supportive, and not only say they believe in me, but show that they do. And the past couple of weeks that I've been doing recordings where I've been discussing the issues that I've been debating, there is some clarity in what I've said, but there's a lot of unclear thought because of the whole adrenaline rush I've been getting thinking about it, and being overwhelmed by the fact I've come across something which just seems so obvious. You know, why have I not come across this before? And it's going to be just the biggest challenge, I think, that I could possibly set myself. You know, things like Stickaid and that, you know, this year alone helped 100,000 people in some of the world's poorest regions. You know, that's fantastic, and it's something that I will continue to do and improve on. But something that people tend to talk about is their calling in life, whether it's, you know, to do with religion, spirituality, or a career, you know, something they want to dedicate their life to. And I've always been someone who likes to do a bit of everything. I always like to play in my band, I always like to do my live shows, I like to do my videos online, I like to write, I like to do a bit of everything. But there's something that connects it, and it's that notion of inspiration and trying to show people that things can work out. And of course things don't always work out, and it's about, you know, being realistic as well as being hopeful. And I can't possibly go into everything right now that I've been looking into, but I printed off 2 documents which were research papers based on what I've been looking into lately. And the reason why is I've been about 2 years ago I came across a film, Zeitgeist Addendum, which is very provocative, has some very interesting philosophies on the world that we live in today and what the future could potentially hold. But you can't just base, you know, a new philosophy to live your life by based on a movie. And so I decided to actively research it, and I've looked into it, I've tried to validate what is in front of me to ensure that it comes from reliable resources, and every page I read just shocked me at how obvious it is, how obvious everything is in this world right now. And what the main issue is this whole notion of generational conditioning. You know, you grow up, you live in a society, and because, you know, you're living, you're secure to a certain degree, you don't tend to question it, and you feel that things are all right. But, you know, behind the words of the government and actually the situations they're dealing with at the moment, it is absolutely insane. And we are at a tipping point. And, you know, with the recession, people say, oh, we go through recessions all the time. You have no idea. There are 200 and, I think it was, out of the 205 countries in the world, there are only 3 countries that do not owe any money. And the US government stopped publishing figures on the quantitative easing they do when they print money through the Federal Reserve, and they stopped doing that in 2006. And since 2006, the debt has gone up by 50%, and it is increasing more and more. And the monetary system is failing, and I could go into all the different reasons why. We're in a technological age now where technology is replacing human beings, and it's deemed as a bad thing, when actually technology is a good thing, because it's, you know, means that we actually don't need to work anymore in the way that we do today. But unfortunately, the monetary system means if machines come along, people are out of jobs. But if people are out of jobs, what products are these machines going to be making? Where are they going to go if there's no people with wages who can then buy the products that are being produced? And scarcity is the reason we have government. Scarcity is the reason that we have a monetary system. Scarcity is the reason that we have crime. And, you know, it's an old traditional system. And actually, we now live in a time where we have the ability to create abundance in energy, in food, in housing, in education. And it's about how do we get there. And that is the biggest problem. So I've really looked into all of this. And starting from next year, I'm working alongside the Zeitgeist Movement. The people wanted me to go in for a talk, and my biggest concern was to go in with a passion without any real research and stuff behind me. So now I've read into it, at least I have a much clearer understanding. And I just don't want to look back and think I was wrong to dedicate my life to something which many people could see as being a cult, and it's not a cult. It's just when you step away from the status quo, people tend to get cynical. And it's good to be cynical. Cynical is not a bad thing, because by being cynical, you are going to question a system that is proposed. And the thing I've said again and again throughout the past few years is, when you find that something is wrong, when you are proven wrong, it's not a weakness, it's a good thing. Because to not be told that you're wrong, but to be proven that you're wrong, is to be proven of an alternative which is right. And that should be enlightening and allow you to move in the right direction. So what is my plan for next year? Well, for this project, it's going to be about one fundamental thing, and that is education. And my goal next year, something which, you know, I guess I've already started in my own means with my own philosophies of coping with life and, you know, difficulties, and that is educating the world. Because if we want this plan to go forward, and it's something I will talk about more in the future, people need to understand. And it's not something we can just make happen. In order for this system to go into action, we need the current system to fail, and it is going to fail, and that's why we're on a tipping point. It's a make or break. And people say, oh, you know, it's not the end of the world, all this sort of stuff. Like, well, that's fair enough. You obviously think it is going to prevail and we will get through it. But, you know, just because we survive, and the fact that, you know, we have a government that employs military to deal with scarce resources, which is going to be happening more and more. You know, you look at the oil situation, the peak oil crisis, which does exist and is currently going on at the moment. We've become so complacent and wasteful with resources. You know, even if you talk at stuff like iPhones and that, you know, how many things they bring out every year because they need to justify their companies, they need to justify the share prices and that, by keep bringing out products so they can pay the wages of their employees, who then go out and spend their wages on more consumer products, which is just ridiculous. And that is what the cyclical cycle is in business. And when I was in secondary school, in sixth form, I did A-level economics, and I failed it. And the reason I failed it was because I just didn't get it. It's a science based on assumptions. It's a science based on something that's completely ludicrous. The monetary system, if you look into it now, it's not based on gold reserves anymore. Money is just printed out of thin air, and the more money that is printed to, you know, help with the boom, the expansion of economies, it always ends up with more debt. And just to leave you with this final principle, so to get you questioning, if you've got the Federal Reserve, which actually owns the world banks, and you've got a government that needs money for quantitative easing, which is the process in which they print more money to put into the system. If they want $10 billion, all the US government does is prints off bits of paper called US bonds, and they give it in a briefcase, if you want to look at it like that, and they give it to the Federal Reserve. So it's just bits of paper, $10 billion. And they give it to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve then prints out $10 billion worth of paper, which is US dollar currency, and they give it to the US government. Now, the Federal Reserve, which is creating this money out of thin air, they will do something called interest. And let's say it's a percentage of 50%, which it would never be. That would mean the US government now owns the Federal Reserve, because of the loan, $15 billion. But they've just borrowed $10 billion because that's the only place they can get money from. So if that's the only place they can get money from, and they're expected to pay an extra 50% back, that is unsustainable debt. That can never be paid back. And you think of all these transactions that are going in the world, whether it's a credit card, whether it's taking money from a bank, whether it's countries lending each other money, there is interest put on that. And that interest will never be paid back because it's been made out of thin air. And, you know, we live in a time of economic slavery. And my goal for next year is to educate people about this, because you can't tell people what to do. People don't like being told what to do. But the thing I found is a lot of people have questioned these things I've spoken about before, but with no alternative. It's like, you know, oh, we've had recessions before and we've always got out of it. And it's like, so you're just going to live your life with that complacency? I know people who say that I worry too much, and you know, ignorance is bliss and it's good just to get on with your life. But I just feel, how naive are we to believe that things can stay sustainable with the rate that we're using these resources on this planet? Because there isn't an abundance with the current way that we are using oil. More problems around the corner, so it's make or break. So I guess to finish this podcast on, which I'm going to be doing plenty more in the future. I've been debating this for, you know, I've known about this project for about, the Venus Project, for about 2 years now, but I stepped away because I was cynical. But I've printed out these documents, I've been researching, I've been making notes, and I'm going to be happy to talk about it. And I'm glad I'm more aware of the philosophies behind it, because it makes complete sense. It's about taking a scientific approach on this world, where you say, what resources do we have? How can we use them? And actually, you know, we can feed and shelter the world. And it is completely bullshit that 50% of this world should live on less than a dollar a day. It's wrong. It's fundamentally wrong. And governments will always serve the rich, because governments, like companies, need to survive. And that's the society we live with, scarcity. The riots that you see, like, for instance, recently in the UK with student protests, that's the beginning of something else, because people feel it's their right to have free university education. When should we really think that in a time like this it's more of a privilege? You know, that's a debate for another time, and, you know, I completely understand why students are protesting against it, but there's a much bigger question behind it, and that is the system failing? And the system is failing, and it's going to continue to fail. And the thing I've been wanting to say is, if anyone believes what I've been talking about and wants to know more, then stick with me on this, because next year I'm really going to put my hand out to this world through my videos and that, and say, look, there is a solution, and this is the way we need to go. And I really, really do hope you believe me, because I'm so convinced that this is the right way. And I hope that you will help me make a difference in the world, which we all deserve. So on that note, I'm going to go to sleep. Have a good night.